That's why such things are written about. Rather than us living our lives in the context of God, God is just a part of my life. See the difference? God is just a little bit over here. Just tick that box over here of what we do for God and then move on to the real business and the important stuff of our day. Anecdotally, well, actually not anecdotally, worship, prayer, personal discipleship, growing relationship with the Lord are for many being replaced by other priorities and pursuits. So in all reality, and all joking aside, where is the place for God in our lives? Where is the place for God in our lives? Because if we profess to follow Christ, He is our life. Can I say that again? If we profess to follow Christ, He is our lives. Where is the place for such a consciousness of God that we are constantly reflecting on questions such as, how is God with me right now? Where is God leading me? What is God saying to me? Is God pleased with me? In our relationships with God, do we tend to just kind of muddle along with such things? You know, to ancient Israel, when we study that marvelous group of people, yes, despite all of their failures that we can learn so much from, silence and stillness for them were essential in order to learn what Yahweh's will and purposes were for them as individuals and for them as a community of people. Stillness was respectful. It meant the people were giving God the respect, the honor, the worship, and the glory that He was due. If relying on human strength and subjecting ourselves to frantic activity takes greater precedence over being still before God, what does that say of what or who ultimately our trust is in? Where are our priorities and who are we really drawing strength from? I want to suggest to you that this psalm, and many of the psalms are like this obviously, but this psalm can't help but cause us to do a little self-examination this morning. And that's what this talk this morning is designed to do, for us to take a good look at self. So maybe even now we can just begin to prepare to be thinking and praying and seeking and searching in that way. Let me read to you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 62. We'll just read the passage together. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your hearts on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is a great psalm, isn't it? So we can see that David's under attack of some kind. There's a group of people looking to dethrone him as king, really just making life miserable, as possibly miserable as they can for David in the process. It's quite possibly Saul's family or some other group of conspirators, but as best that we can tell, David is at breaking point. He's at breaking point. But we can see in the way that he's framed his words here, and this is what I love about the Psalms and David's writings particularly, is his resolve to remain focused on God despite what's happening to him and around him. David knew God and all that he is, greater than any battle or challenge that life can bring. He had confidence in the Lord. Take another look at some of the words that are used in the psalm here. I'll read them out to you. My rock. My salvation. My fortress. My mighty rock. Glory. Strength. Refuge. And mercy. Great words that describe the type of relationship that David obviously had with the Lord. How often are we using such words in our praying? God, you are my rock. Thank you that you are my salvation. Lord, you are my mighty fortress, and so on and so forth. Speaking those words over ourselves, into our situation, encouraging self with those words as well. All clearly appropriate to David's difficult circumstances. He is undeterred by any threat of the enemy like the one envisioned here. In fact, his statements of such faith and confidence in God turn into a prayer at the end. Power belongs to you, God, and with you is unfailing love. You reward each person according to what they have done. So God is the judge. God is the great vindicator. But David here, like he did in so many of the other Psalms, is able to just give it all to God. Give it all to God. So what can the Psalm teach us? Teach us today about relationship with God, about worship, the dependency he wants us to have on him and in him, the trust he wants us to have in him. I want to give you three avenues that perhaps could be keys for us in finding that deep level of trust that we see in David. Note these. First point, we need to seek God in the face of difficulty and life's challenges. You may say, Ross, that sounds pretty simple. That seems pretty straightforward. I've heard that before. But it's not our natural tendency. It's not our natural tendency to seek God. It's paradoxical to seek God in the face of life's difficulties and challenges. The idea here is not to run away from or avoid challenges as they come up, but to seek God in the face of them. Again, God has described here in this psalm as our rock, a refuge, a fortress, a place of rest and safety, who is reliable, permanent, and constant, and faithful. You see, life as a Christian is not ignoring or invalidating the difficulties we face. But again, part of the paradox of living as Christ followers is not to turn inward on ourselves, but to reach out to God. Again, it's not our natural tendency, but that's the biblical way of living Christianly. When we read Scripture and the stories and lives of God's work and many of the characters, we see that they were just ordinary people, just like us, just like us. People who lived with the same strains and sins and struggles we do, yet they found ways to live a life of faith in the process. That ought to inspire us. That ought to encourage us. And David was one of those. Complementary to the psalm we're looking at this morning is this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Note this, verses 8 to 11. Paul says, my friends, I want you to note what a hard time we had in Asia. Our sufferings were so horrible and so unbearable that death seemed certain. In fact, we felt sure that we were going to die. But this made us stop trusting in ourselves and start trusting God, who raises the dead to life. God saved us from the threat of death, and we are sure that He will do it again and again. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, more well known, we are like clay jars in which this treasure is stored. The real power comes from God and not from us. We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us, and when we are knocked down, I get up again. There's a song about that. I won't start singing up on. In times of trouble, we can confidently call on the Lord because He cares for those who rely on Him. Start today. Second key point, we need to seek God, acknowledging our dependence in and on Him. David said, "My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge." You know, when we do that, that's worship. You know, depending on God, despite and in spite of our circumstances, is worship. It is worship. And as believers, we grow and mature, we become more dependent on our Heavenly Father. At least that's what maturing as Christians is supposed to look like. Some of us really struggle with this, though. Relating to God at all can prove to be a roadblock, because it is a natural tendency to relate to God through what may have been or are poor or unhealthy relationships with others. But God, by the Holy Spirit and through His Son Jesus, have the ability to rebuild broken trust, betrayal, and heal broken wounds. We need to be willing to engage in that process, though. That's when the healing comes. Otherwise, our lives can be like the leaning wall or the fence that may fall at just the slightest touch. I want to stay on this point, seeking God, acknowledging our dependence in and on Him. You might be thinking, Ross, as you're hearing this, you're thinking, you're making it sound too simple. You're making it sound simple, given my circumstances and my struggles and some of the historical stuff I've put up with or had happen to me in the past. You're making that sound simple, Ross. You've got no idea what I've been through or what I've put up with, Ross. And I don't. I don't know what you've put up with or what you've been through. But I'm really sorry. If you're sitting here today, and some of what I'm saying is calling to mind some of the things that you have had happen in your life, if you've been hurt by other Christians, or you feel like you've been hurt by God, or you've been hurt by someone else, and you're sitting here today and you have wounds for whatever reason, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But here's the thing. Does God want you to carry that burden? Does God want you to carry that burden, or does He want you to be free from it? Does He want you to carry that burden, or does He want you to be free from it? This psalm today, David said, "My soul finds rest in God alone." That means God is the only one we can perfectly trust. The psalm invites us to risk trusting today. The psalm invites us to risk trusting today with what's in your heart right at this very moment. It encourages us to commit ourselves to God's care. Start today. Thirdly, we need to seek God, pouring out our hearts to Him. So what does that look like? So imagine that this jug of water similarly to what I've just been talking about, is everything that's in us right at this very moment. David says, I pour out my heart to you. So this is us. What's left in the jug? What's left in the jug? Nothing. How much room's in that jug for the Holy Spirit? You get the idea? I pour everything out that's in me to make space for God. I pour out my soul to make space for the Holy Spirit, who is the only one that can do that healing work in us. The only one. We can't look to anyone else but Holy Spirit to reconcile, to redeem, to repair, to heal, to set free. Hallelujah. It involves, though, a complete emptying of ourselves. It involves an exposing of our inner selves, our needs, and our feelings. It's based on trust that the other person, in this case the Lord, will listen, and that he will care, he will understand, he will empathize and respond. He will not mock. He will not reject us. He will listen, and he will care, he will heal, and he will restore. I want to talk to the men for a moment. Men, lend your ear this way to me, bearing in mind what I've just said. Listen to me for a moment, men. Some of what I've been talking about today might appear to be a little bit soft, kind of touchy-feely, a little bit feminine even. I know what blokes can be like because, well, I'm a bloke, obviously. But I want to say to you today, David was a man in touch with his own vulnerability. He was a man in touch with his feelings and knew how to express that before God. David was a battle-hardened warrior, a man's man. He'd be playing in the front row for the All Blacks if he was alive today. He's a man after God's own heart, though. So in as much that I'm talking, it may appear touchy-feely, kind of soft stuff. Men, we need to hear this stuff too. It's okay to be a little bit vulnerable before God. It's okay. It's not soft at all. Hear the word of the Lord. David says that we can pour out our souls to God because he is our refuge. And the encouragement is for us to be still, to regularly take stock, to take our troubles, our concerns, our weaknesses and sicknesses, and pour them out to God. Pour them out. Nothing you have done or have said will surprise him. He knows. But he wants to hear it from us. And here's what I want to say to you in terms of what you might be grappling with here today. If that's sin, I want to say to you today that his grace is momentary. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's momentary. What precipitates his grace is our confession. But it's momentary. We can receive his grace sitting here right now, right in this very moment. No problem at all. Nothing you've done or you've said will surprise him. Just imagine, folks. Imagine what would be like living with this daily attitude of pouring out to God. And it's not a static thing. It's something we do in perpetuity. We do it all the time. Pouring out, pouring out, pouring out to receive, to receive, to receive. Pour out, pour out, pour out to receive, to receive, to receive. In our work and our recreation and with our schooling and our studying, whatever it is. What I've just described is daily Christian life. Pouring out, receiving, receiving. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says this, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, he was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, Paul says, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. I can almost see Paul, as he's writing this, with a big smile on his face. I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships, because he knew the Lord. In persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. You know, God, in his mercy, doesn't give us what we do deserve. But in his grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Wow. Wow. I want to put the words of the psalm on the screen. Thank you, Heather. We're just going to take a moment just to read through this psalm. It's going to take 1 or 2 minutes. I just want you to read through these words, and there will be a second slide to the picture. And then I'll come back and conclude. Just reflect on these words for yourself and where you're at with God today. Just go ahead and read this now. What's the Lord saying to you? What's he saying? What's he saying to us? What's the Holy Spirit convicting you about right now? You know, we confuse our faith walk with Jesus if we think there's nothing we need to do. Maturity, learning, and growing in God takes commitment, desire, and sacrifice. We need to be proactive. Are we standing at a crossroads today? Are we sitting on the fence spiritually? Are things a little bit dull? Has discipleship taken a back seat? Are we confused in general about where we're at with God, and we just don't know how to even put one foot in front of the other spiritually? We've got no idea what to do with ourselves. I've got no idea how to pray. I don't know where to start reading in the Bible. And I don't have the courage to ask anyone to help me either. Are we giving lip service to our dependence and our trust in God? Are we walking in his immeasurably moreness for us? Just to link back to a talk a couple of weeks ago. To find rest for our souls, we need to choose to pour out all of our concerns, our insecurities, our relationship difficulties to God. Here's the truth, folks. God is unimpressed by our attempt to limp through life devoid of any acknowledgement or reliance on him. God's not impressed by that. I'm going to do this myself. I don't need anyone's help. That doesn't impress God. What impresses God is everything we've been talking about this morning. Dependence on him. Pouring out our souls to him. That's what impresses God. Why does it? Because it's us saying to him, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Our faith is not in our expectations of what God may or may not do. Our faith is directed to God. Faith is asking God to strengthen and guide us through circumstances, helping us keep our eyes on Him. Faith is asking God to do what He wants to do in us. Faith is asking God to do what He wants to do in us. We're about to finish, but I'm going to ask you just to take a moment to consider where you're at right now. What's the state of your relationship with the Lord Jesus right now? 31st of December 2017. And I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions. That's not what I'm hinting at here. Today is a good day, folks, to get things back on track if they're not. Today is a good day to learn what it means to pour out everything that's happened before, to draw a line in the sand and say, thank you, Lord, that today is a new day and that your mercies are new every morning. So how about we choose to rely on God in all circumstances? We choose to earnestly call on God in times of trouble. We choose to set our hearts on Him. We choose to trust in God's reward. We choose to seek God in tough times and depend on Him deeply. Choose to pour out our hearts to Him. So what does it look like for you today? For God to be your rock. For your satisfaction to be found in Him. To be still in Him. For your soul to find rest in Him. Let's stand together. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust you in your presence. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, we thank You that as we stand here right now in Your presence, God, You see our hearts. You see those of us that are on fire for You, Lord, and moving forward with great speed. But You see others here, Lord, who are struggling. Where our lives, our spiritual lives, are a bit dull. Lord, there's little warmth in our Christian walk, let alone toward You. Father, we thank You that wherever we're at on that spectrum today, Father God, that Your grace for us is real. That Your grace, as we call out to You, as we confess, Lord, our need of You, Lord, Your grace is momentary. Your grace is real. Your grace is powerful, and Your grace is amazing. Father, I pray for us, God, if nothing else, we, Lord, would have the courage to go from this place with these words of Psalm 62 percolating in our spirits. With the courage, Lord, to make the necessary changes and adjustments that we need to on this day, the 31st of December. Lord, would You speak to us? Would You help us in our brokenness and in our wounds? Lord, would You heal? Would You set free, Father? Holy Spirit, would You do that deep work within each one of us? Father, I thank You. I thank You for each person here. Thank You for every family. And Lord, I ask for Your continued blessing and hand of protection over us, Lord, over these coming days and weeks ahead. Lord, we love You. We honour you. We affirm you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings of our lives, over our families and over this church. We just commend ourselves to you now to that end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, everyone. Thanks so much.